All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Earlier today, out in the cold, I showed you how they were so serious they were in the cold. 10-degree weather. Now, you know it's serious when you stand outside in 10-degree weather to tell the community what needs to be done. This was a combination of the 10-point coalition plus the Baptist Ministers Alliance plus the Church of God in Christ, plus IndyCan, plus West Side Ministers, plus the Council, what is it, the Council of President. It was like almost everybody was up in there. In the house with me is Pastor Charles Ellis with 10 Point, Pastor Richard Willoughby, Pastors Horatio Luster, Pastor Fitzhugh Line. Pastors, welcome.
Hello, Amos.
Let me start with Pastor Ellis. At the press conference, walk the community through what you all feel needs to happen now.
Well, Amos, basically what we feel needs to happen is action, and we need to take some steps to make sure that we address the issue regarding gun violence. We cannot be silent, and we cannot sit and wait for something else to happen. And the mood of the ministers, all of them that was gathered, is that we have got to move, and we've got to urge those in the community and those that have the power to move and take some measures to address these issues that we've been having. And so we came together to give what we call five strategies, mm-hmm, that we think that will address the issue of gun violence and curb it in the community. And I think just one of the things that we want the community to know is we're not happy, and we're not going to just watch our city and community be taken hostage. We're going to fight for it. Mm-hmm. And we believe that we can't sit idly by, and we believe that those in positions of power can't sit idly by. We must do something. We must act.
Walk us through the 5 points.
Okay, the first point.
Because the reason I say that is television will take what you say and right, cut it down to 45 seconds. Right. This is your opportunity to walk the community through exactly what your recommendations are.
The first point, Amos, deals with the issue of the mall, and we let's just be clear. We know that the issue is in the mall itself, just like the incident that happened in the context of Expo.
Right.
We know in Expo itself, but nevertheless, the mall is an attraction right now, and where the youth are going. And so we call on the Simons, mm-hmm, and the administrators at the mall to set curfews for Circle Center Mall on weekends. And we believe setting a curfew from 5 to closing, that youth must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. And, you know, this, and you've talked about this before, this parental escort plan has been successful in other places in the mall. We believe that it more parents involved like that will act as a deterrent to all of this violence, not just the gun violence, but the fighting. And the biggest thing that we want to get across is we see the warning signs. Mm-hmm. We cannot wait for something to happen. What are we going to do? Wait until we have a tragedy? Mm-hmm. Wait until there's a shooting and somebody, and we have to stand over one of these kids? We think they ought to move right now. Mm-hmm. And our language was very strong. We urged them in the strongest language that we must act right now. In fact, if we do not act, it really borders on the criminal, mm-hmm, because we can see the signs. So that was our first recommendation, that mm-hmm, that needs to happen in the mall. Second, we believe that the City County Council needs to move the crime prevention dollars to the Office of Public Safety. And I know whenever we begin to talk about resources and people jump to say you're talking about the money, but let's be real. It takes resources to get the job done. And here's the thing, Amos. Mm-hmm. The crime prevention dollars in the city, if you go back and check, and I know you right, check your record, you research well, the people that were the money was that were left out of the crime prevention dollars are the people that are on the front lines. Mm-hmm. They're calling the 10-point coalitions, and they're calling other organizations that are on the front line that did not get the resources that they needed to make this a safer place. We think the money's ought to go to the Office of Public Safety so they can distribute it to the people that are doing the work, and specifically the people that are doing the work on the front lines
Preventing crime.
Of preventing crime, and specifically gun violence. Mm-hmm. I understand what the research says.
Right.
I understand that it says you have to get to kids early and all that. But you know what? There's not going to be no kids. Those kids aren't going to grow up if somebody doesn't do something about the kids carrying the guns.
Right.
So really, then let me say this, and I'll just be very, very honest about it. If you look at the people who got cut, many of them were African-American groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a disproportionate percentage were African American groups, and which happened to also be those that were on the front lines. And so I think they need to reassess. We need to talk about who is doing the work, who is in the trenches,
right.
And that's where the. And I think the Office of Public Safety, not the Parks Department, is the best.
And Parks Department, they've washed their hands, which is why the problem is the money sitting in the bank somewhere.
Exactly, they don't want anything to do with it because of the heat. And they know it was you know it's been messed up for a while. Put it back. We call on the city county council to put it back in the place of public safety. That's what their job is, public safety.
Right.
And let them distribute those funds.
All right.
Number three. We called also on the city officials, city county council, and city officials to restore the Indianapolis Violence Reduction Program (IVRP). You may be familiar with it. Yeah. It was this plan, this program, it utilized the
ceasefire. That had our U.S. attorney, the prosecutor involved, the sheriff was involved, the police were involved, ATF was involved.
Absolutely.
There was some uncle money floating around, which I don't think that money's gone. You can get grants and whatever, and that was designed. That was when we had all those PSAs or whatever. If you get caught with a gun, it's your you-know-what.
That's right. And what I liked and what we liked about it is it was a carrot and a stick, and we said we will help you. Susan Brooks did
that leadership of that.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. We need, and that program was successful. It was successful here, selected neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Crime in the late 90s, early 2000s reduced over 40%.
Right.
National. It was successful in Boston, which is where it started.
Yeah, right.
And successful. Right now, they're even piloting that program across the country.
Hmm.
So why would we go away from it? And really, Indianapolis has a leg up.
Yeah.
Because we were already involved in it. So we call for that to be brought back. Because it was a comprehensive approach, as you've already, and that even included lever pulling, included jobs.
Yeah.
It included the whole nine yards. That needs to be brought back.
Okay.
And then we called, number four, we called on the city county council and legislators to enact the curfew of 11 p.m. for minors under the age of 17. And the purpose on weekends, and that
roll it back from 1 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Yes. And again, just having more parents involved and having them, you know, do you know where your children are? They need to be with you, and we think that again will curb some of this out of control. Too many, in a nutshell, too many kids unsupervised downtown. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that say it right, Pastor?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last one. We just simply, again, call on parents, and we know, and this is not all parents, but the parents to take responsibility for their children. You shouldn't really have to have someone to tell you to a curfew for your kid. Take responsibility. Be there for them. Talk to them about the violence. Talk to them about the guns. And make sure that when they are out, that there is a responsible adult with them.
Let me ask a couple things, and we'll take a break, and then we'll open up the phone lines. We had a caller in our first hour. They kind of challenge the churches in a positive way. Now, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, folk will call and challenge in a negative way, but they were challenging in a positive way, saying, you know, why can't the churches get together and have, you know, on a rotating basis citywide, places where young people could go and positively socialize. In other words, instead of the burden being on Church A for 52 weeks, you know, you gather all the churches in the location, get everybody together, and just rotate it around. Because they were saying, you know, when is, you know, the church is asking for, you know, for parents to step up to the plate, for guardians to step up to the plate, for city leaders to step up to the plate, for, you know, the folk that got the money to step up to the plate. You know, is this something where we're in this emergency and that churches need to step up to the plate?
Well, you know, I will say that's a very good recommendation. That's what churches were doing. Mm-hmm. If you recall, when part of the some of the funding that was eliminated in the resources, because it still takes resources to run those places,
right,
were the safe havens.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, Club Hope was a safe haven.
Yeah.
Over out of Barnes, United
right.
Methodist.
And, right.
and there were other safe havens that were benefiting, that were doing just that. And so I think a lot of times the perception is the church isn't doing anything, but the church is involved in a number of ways. So I do think that's a good idea.
But we also need to understand that a lot of times when you have church programs, church children show up. There we have a group and a generation that are unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong to anybody's church. We still have to try to reach them too.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we need safe havens that may not have a cross on top of it. But for that's that, right. the people might come in.
The young person might yeah. figure, I want to go in and try to make a phone number connection, and I might not feel comfortable if I'm walking in a building with the cross on top of it.
But
and that's just the reality.
But we still have faith-based people running these locations mm-hmm. where we still can present the love of Christ. We still got an opportunity to love them into the body of Christ. But they sometimes... people need other locations because we got a hip hop group generation out there
right.
that didn't grow up, and you can't tell Jay-Z he need God
Amos, yeah, go ahead, Reverend Lyons.
The church is doing something, so I like to tell everybody that says, "What is the church doing? We brought you where you are. If we wasn't involved, you wouldn't be there." And the interdenominational, I'm the president of 10-Point Coalition, and Cody, the chaplain, and the Baptist Ministers Alliance, and other organizations. We've all come together, and we're going to fight this battle together.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Avenue's name. We're also joined by Pastor Charles Harrison with 10-Point Coalition. Pastor, I understand you were in Washington because there is this... you know, obviously the president and the administration, they're trying to deal with gun control. But one of the things you all are concerned about, all of you, and those who are listening, is we're not, you know, while we worry about a new town affecting our schools, we're worried about Pookie and Shalonda and what have you getting wounded out here in our streets. Are the folks in Washington, do they understand that dealing with weapons reduction means in our neighborhoods and getting the illegal weapons off the street and putting the people that are selling the illegal weapons under the jailhouse and dealing with all that, Pastor?
No.
They don't? Not,
no. When we got to Washington, we began to talk to the Justice Department and the Obama administration. The concern that we had was that the Newtown shooting is what's driving the whole gun control issue, but what's happening in Chi-Town and other urban neighborhoods every day
mm-hmm.
where our babies are being killed, it has not raised the eyebrow. So what we said to the president and to his people is that we need to focus on gun violence that's occurring in urban cities all across the country. We had 13,000 people killed last year, and in Chicago, over 500. We're at a pace in Chicago to even exceed that. And the focus was on how do we reduce gun violence in our communities. And the concern was that maybe the universal background checks may not prevent these guns from coming into our community. The ban on assault weapons, most of the killing that takes place in our community is with handguns.
But so, with the high-capacity clips,
with
though.
They still had the high-capacity clips. So the concern was how does his initiative help reduce the number of guns on our street? And that's the conversation that we started to have with the Obama administration, and we will be going back to Washington to have further conversations because we want a commitment from the administration that will help reduce gun violence in our communities. And we have selected 70 cities from across the country to invest in about $500 million.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Avenue's name. The church is in the house. They had a five-point plan. One of them is to, you know, again, trying to put pressure on Simon Mall. They resisted. They really resisting, you know, and maybe for some good reason. I wish they'd tell some folk to put in a parental escort policy on Friday and Saturday nights. They also want the crime prevention dollars that are currently gathering dust in a bank account somewhere to be utilized with the folks that are on the front line trying to reduce crime, that the city needs to restore the Indianapolis Violence Reduction Partnership, which would involve federal, state, and local efforts to, you know, put a stigma on the illegal use of guns and tell folks, stay away from the weapon. They're also looking at, this is probably the most controversial part, rolling the main curfew from 1 a.m. to 11 p.m. Oh, the movie theater folk ain't going to like y'all, pastors. And then also dealing, you know, with parents. It's time, parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles, it's time for y'all to step to the plate. Anyway, we'll get your reactions to all of that. It's Afternoons with Amos, brought to you by the Indiana Civil Rights Commission. Now, I want y'all to know one thing that, and I'm going to be honest, that the late sainted Sugar Poindexter once taught me, Elder Bishop Hobbs also schooled me, that sometimes in the church, sometimes pastors have disagreements on certain things and they fuss and they feud. And then other times when it is important to the community, the church comes together. So I want y'all to know that Pastor Charles Harrison is here with 10 Point. Pastor Ray Ware from Baptist Ministers Alliance is here. First of all, they're sitting together in the studio. I need to take a picture of this. They're friends. And while there have been some disagreements among these alliances and groups represented in our studio today, everybody on this issue right now, we're in an emergency. And everybody is together.
That's right.
All right. So, you know, and I know we fuss and feud and what have you. And we've had with 10 Point, you know, some tactical, I want everybody to know, tactical disagreements. Right. But this emergency, and we got to deal with what's right. 239-1310, and we appreciate them being here. 239-1310, let me go quickly, move through the callers. Let me go to Rod Bohannon. Hi, Rod.
Hey, Amos, how you doing, sir?
I'm fine. I feel like I'm in the United Nations down here today.
Let me raise a couple of questions.
Okay.
I'm glad to see the ministers are beginning to look at some of the issues here, but I caution us to be very careful of the public relations image it look like.
Mm-hmm.
If it begins to look like an armed camp, you begin having more negative effect in turning people outside saying, I'm not coming to Indianapolis, look how unsafe it is. So I raised question terms when I read some of the things, the height, and folks talk about putting more police officers and putting in things like the horse patrol, et cetera. I just raised the question terms of what the image look like. But my second point in turn, I'm glad to see that the different alliances are beginning to look at this issue as the gun control issue. But I would caution they need to start looking from a political district by district. It may be important to talk to the White House, but it really is Susan Brooks, Young out of Evansville, and all of those congressional folks begin to look in terms of their level about and their opposition. And also that if you look at most of the state law, at least the constitutional level, gun control is a state level issue. There's an issue in terms of you look at it in terms of where it is at the state legislature, what is the climate when you look at it in terms of Carmel, Hendricks County, et cetera. And so I caution that they've got to begin looking at the strategy as that way and begin changing on the ground level those kind of issues and not necessarily Washington, D.C. My third point I have to do is you raised early in terms of the school district. And I hope that the minister begin to look at this major issue. I have been saying for years, and you heard me say it before, Amos, being very careful in terms of what's happened to privatization of our public schools, specifically IPS, the new school board who did not oppose but sort of acquiesced to the mayor taking over the four districts and four schools. And I say it in terms of the lawsuit that happened that came out last week against Gary School District. If you recall, there was a school district that was taken over by a private company. They had problems in terms of the boilers. They sued the Gary School District saying that even though we've been awarded the school by the state, we're the turnaround authority. You still have the legal responsibility as to the physical plants, the operation, et cetera. And a judge here in Marion County said, you're absolutely right. The state law puts responsibility for those facilities, the public safety, special ed, et cetera, back on the school district. And so you're giving the mayor control of these four turnaround schools, but the liability across the board still lies to IPS. And so I said, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful and be involved in understanding what's happening, what is the real ground, what is the real intent in terms of decentralization IITS, and we won't have a public school.
All right, good points, Rod Bohannon. I appreciate that. Do we need to worry about, pastors, what Rod talked about, the optics, the image of downtown is an armed camp, and particularly, you know, Pastor Harrison, in talking to Pastor Luster and some of the folks, and, you know, who've been on the ground with Ten Point, saying we need to keep an eye out for Castleton. We had a caller call the other day about it's getting kind of, you know, tight out at the movie theater at 86th and Zionsville Road out of Traders Point. Do we run the risk of we're so focused on downtown that we're missing other hotspots? I mean, Broad Ripple was this hot spot, what, five, you know, a couple of months ago? Do we need to worry about the holistic problem of the lack of recreation, the lack of something to do? And is this the time to put on the table? Are there ways to create social things to do without code enforcement and others cracking down and making it impossible?
Well, that's one of the concerns that we have. If the Simons are going to take the position that they're not going to institute a curfew, and we only ask for the curfew because it brings into play parents being responsible for their children. Right. And as a parent, I have four kids myself. If I want my kids to come down to the mall, then I will bring my kids. But if we don't put that in place, then you're going to have 400, 500, 600 kids that are now coming down to the mall. If you have within that number, groups of kids that are coming down to settle their disputes, which is what we have had, then you're going to force the law enforcement community to put large numbers of police downtown, which then can lead to confrontations with our youth that can lead to some very troubling things that could occur.
Is it, do we also need to have, and I've heard conversation, you know, from listeners this week about talking to the youth, finding out about the youth. The Children's Museum is considered neutral ground. I think the word is out among young people, you really don't start no stuff in the Children's Museum. One, because it tends to skew younger. That's part of it. But secondly, it's kind of considered neutral turf. Do we need to send, you know, message and maybe get young people, you know, to start spreading the word that the malls are considered neutral turf?
If we can get that to happen, certainly. Yeah. Certainly, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because part of what we're saying is, And one of the reasons why we want to expand what we started with Club Hope, right. Teen Night at the Mount, at Mount Moriah, Club X on the South Side, was to provide these safe havens for these kids. Now, what we hear downtown is that there's nothing for the kids to do, particularly on Saturday night. So we have invested so much money in downtown, and downtown looks so nice, and there's so many activities. These kids want to go where it's happening.
Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Amos and all the pastors. Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to make a comment about the not having anything to do. I am a member of Rock of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and I coached a wiffle ball and flag football this summer. We started out with 28 children signing up. We had signs everywhere to let the community know that this is what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We started out with 28 children signing up, 18 started, 13 followed through with it, and the children that played the wiffle ball were ages 5 to 8, mm-hmm. and the ones that were to come out to play flag football were 10 to 15. No children showed up for the flag football because they said it was too hot. And again, we started out with 28 signups for the wiffle ball, and most kids quit because, again, they said it was too hot. Everybody is complaining about the churches not doing this and having different things going on for the children. But I would like to say to the parents, stop letting your children tell you they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm over 50, and I stayed out there in the hot sun playing wiffle ball, so I felt that the children should have also been told what to do by an adult and not let the child tell them what they don't want to do.
And
I think that's basically part of the problem. It's we need to be adults and stop letting our children tell us that we don't want to do something.
All right, that's a good point. It's an interesting. While you were talking, I was checking my Twitter feed at AmosWTLC Indy, and I got a couple things on Twitter saying several churches who had Friday or after game programs have seen their numbers drop. It's a new generation. Kids that are causing the issues are not going to a church for game night.
That's right.
All right. So there's another side of the side. I appreciate it, Anonymous. Let me go to Bobby at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, Amos.
Yes.
Why don't you and the ministers talk to Frank Anderson? Because when Frank Anderson was running the city, we didn't have all these problems. So why don't somebody go talk to him and see what he has to plan?
One can always learn from Sheriff and Marshal Frank Anderson. That's a good point. So y'all,
yes, sir. I mean, we didn't have all these problems. The crime was down until the mayor took over. Now, when the mayor took over, look how much the crimes went up. Don't that tell you something, Amos? Well, you put two and two together, brother.
I'm putting two and two together, and I'm coming up with four and change. I appreciate it. Let me go to Ruth at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
This is Ruth. This is an all call for the Calvary Knight organization located at 3338 North Illinois. They are having a financial strain causing them to close temporarily. And so it is all call for past members, any new potential members, to contact Russell Gillian, the board chairman. The number is 317-925-6275. They've been in the community over 60 years celebrating the legacy that only the Cosmo Knight organization could do. So we call for all past members and any new potential members to save this organization. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate that. See the things you learn on this program. Back to the phones and Mr. Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, how are you, Amos?
I'm fine.
Glad I got in on this one.
What's up?
I have a solution for the problem.
Okay.
It is to blame or hold the parents accountable. I seen video of the kids running from the mall. Find out who the mothers and who the parents are,
mm-hmm.
and hold them 100% responsible. And I guarantee 80% will stop doing it.
Well, wait a minute. What are you holding? In other words, if somebody is just running downtown, they have violated no law or no rule. So
no,
why...
I'm not talking about running down. But I'm saying I saw some on TV look like they was running from the slave master. I'm saying the ones that's shooting in the malls and the ones that's doing the stuff and get caught,
mm-hmm.
hold the parents and the ones that's breaking curfew. We need a curfew on these young kids. They're just like wolves and just wild animals. I'm black, mm-hmm. so I'm talking about our people. It's just the same as having a wild animal that you have no control over in your house now that is just running rampant. Me as the owner of that wolf or tiger, I have to make sure that it's under subjection and under control. You must do these kids the same way.
All right, that is because you're right. I think if a kid is arrested for curfew, the parents have to end up in juvenile, and I can't remember what the sanction is and what the penalty is. And was the juvenile judge out with you guys this morning?
No, she wasn't. But there were judges at the press conference that the chief had.
Right.
And part of it is, I think they are going to begin to crack down on the parents for kids who are detained downtown, mm-hmm. or kids who violate curfew, or who are involved in some kind of gun-related crime.
So there are going to be sanctions, Pastor Ellis.
Yes.
And what I want to say is, I think as a community, we need to get behind that and support that. Because there has to always be some teeth in whatever you do. That, you know what, if you do shoot a gun downtown, we're going to hold the parents accountable, and we're not going to just smack you on the hands. There are consequences to your actions, and we need to say that to our community straight up. And before Pookie and Ray Ray comes to us, or you come to us about Pookie and Ray Ray before he goes down, there are going to be consequences to your actions. Let's get them in line and let's get it on the front end instead of the back end.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon. Amos got an email at praiseindy.com. I keep hearing kids ain't got nothing to do on Saturday night. Many of them should be studying 7 days a week. All of these youth aren't carrying outstanding GPAs. Now, come on, email writer. Did you study 7 days a week? Do you work on your job 7 days a week? Come on, let's be real now. I understand the sentiment, but come on, let's be real. Pastor Luster.
I was just going to say the reality of it. When we were younger, I had choices on the weekend. I could go to Schofield. I could go skating. I could play basketball. I could go to the movies. I could go to St. Rita's dances. Mm-hmm. I did have activities that were available.
If you look now, the dances are out. The St. Rita's is out. All you got, we're down to 1.5 skating rinks in the town. Right. So you either got the movies or the skating rink. Or this new Chuck E. Cheese for teenagers up in Castleton.
Right.
What else is there? And if there's no good movie that weekend, then it's like, you know, because not every weekend is either is the horror movie or the black movie, or the ninja movie. Because some of y'all didn't go. The teenagers don't really want to see Lincoln. Yet.
Right.
They don't want to see Lincoln yet. Now, if it wins an Oscar or two, they'll go see it. Yeah, Pastor Lester.
2 points real quick, Amy. Yeah. Because we talked about this before.
Yeah.
One, regardless to the fact, you know, we have a lot of people saying, well, the children have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't argue you know, we don't debate that issue. There are things that the children need to do. Yet and still, that does not give any youth any right. There's no validity to it for any youth to come downtown, fire off guns, and create some of the problems that we see down there every weekend.
Right.
There's no legitimate excuse or reason. Stay at home, read a book, go to the
play
Red
the
Box,
Xbox,
anything besides coming downtown, shooting off guns. Also, we have encountered often while we're down there, we've had people to come down and accuse us of violating the rights of the children. I said this on your program before.
Mm-hmm.
85 to 90% of our youth, they want to do what young people do. They just want to have a good time.
Right.
Even some of the ones that are coming down to the mall, they're not coming down to the mall to shoot off guns or to fight or to have problems. You have 15% of our youth, approximately, that they just are followers.
Right.
It is the 5%, 4 to 5% of knuckleheads that's coming down there that's creating a problem for everybody else. So a lot of people will say that, you know, we are violating all of the children's rights. No, we want youth to have a good time. But we want the citizens of Indianapolis, we want the children to come down, and we want them to be safe.
239-1310. One of the things the police department, I guess, passed out at the press conference is the Circle Center Mall's rules of engagement that they haven't publicized this to our community in a gazillion years. And as I was looking down the list, most of it is self-explanatory. Appropriate clothing, no liquor, no smoking, no pets or animals except for service animals, no loitering, don't block the storefronts, don't deface property, no cussing or threatening comments or gestures, obscene language or what have you. The one thing that is probably I'm nervous about is no photographing or videotaping without prior consent. You can't enforce that one anymore. I mean, somebody just made a movie at Walt Disney World under Disney's nose. That is, and I'm nervous that is security going to try to bounce somebody if they holding up a cell phone camera.
Right.
Taking pictures. That's that one they really need to rethink that. In I know why it's there from back in the day, because they didn't want other mall competitors to come in and take pictures, but they the number one mall operator in the world. They don't need to worry about somebody coming in there and scoping on them. That one needs to get re-looked at. That's weird. Anyway, 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments. This afternoon's with Amos after these. All right. Our Black History Month fact on the program today has to do with Dr. Mark Dean. You're going to say, Amos, who is Dr. Mark Dean? He was born in Jefferson City, Tennessee. He received his undergraduate degree in electrical engineering from the University of Tennessee, his master's from Florida Atlantic, his PhD from Stanford University. He went to work for IBM, where he worked on the early IBM personal computers, that old IBM PS2, the color graphics adapter. He holds 3 of the 9 original patents IBM used to invent the personal computer. Hello. That's right, a brother. Yeah. Invented the personal computer. That's so right. All y'all that got your phones and what have you, a brother started that.
That's it. That's
Dr.
It.
Mark Dean.
That's it.
Give that piece of black history at your Super Bowl party on
That's
Sunday
it.
And right. watch the party just completely stop. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones and Idella right quick. Hi there.
Yes, hi, Emma. How you doing today?
I'm fine.
Oh, reason I'm calling, dear. You know what about this game, the teenage and thing? Well, you know what they need to do is the only way they're going to stop it, because what they need to do is send them all over Arama. And the one with the guns and ankles, they're not going to stop it. They go downtown, act crazy, and some of the mothers don't know where the kids are, and the mother's sitting up in the house getting drunk with everybody else. And the most majority, the kids down there, that's the one, the mother don't care where they at. And what they need to do is the only way they're going to stop it, everybody with them guns get to shoot, send them over to Arama. No, really, that's what they need to do.
Yeah,
they
but wait a minute. There's
and
only one
problem. They're gun and thing.
They're
not going to stop it.
Well, hold on. Idella, there's not. Idella, you made a great point, but the Army doesn't want them. That's a great idea, but the Army said, we don't want them. You know what's over here. Let me go to Gina at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, well, praise God for Dr. Dean.
Yes.
Hello, pastors. How are you?
You're doing fine. Hello.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know what? I love what 10 Point Coalition is doing. I'm a member of Northside New Era, so been there since the beginning. But I have a question. In all of this time, I would not dare say I had the answer to the problem. But I've worked on with the reentry end of things. And I have seen the problem that you're talking about continue on and on and on. And one thing that I know has always been a solution for any of us is education and prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is this. What is 10 Point's commitment to education and prevention for elementary school, middle school students before we get to this problem that you're talking about? And how do we engage 10 Point Coalition in programs that might be going on for this age group?
Well, what we are trying to do at 10 Point is galvanize the community. And there are certain things that we do well. We do the street outreach well, but there's other things that other people do well. And what we're trying to do is create a community conversation and galvanize the community so that we can address all of the issues that affect our kids. And what you see going on, Dr. Lyons is giving a share an event that we're having, trying to create this community conversation. We want to have town hall meetings, but it's going to take all of us together to really resolve and this problem that we're facing.
And
with
Pastor Lyons, y'all got something going on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes. We call it Let's Start the Healing Now.
Mm-hmm.
And a coalition, we're calling a coalition of all of our leaders. And that's at Tuesday at Galilee Baptist Church at 9:30, breakfast. That's the normal meeting time for the Interdenominational Ministers Alliance. And we sacrificing some of this time, or most of this time, for the coalition of Let's Start the Healing. And that's me as president, and Reverend Charles Harrison will be there at 10 Point, and Cody, David Cody with the chaplaincy, and Reverend Ware with the president, the Baptist Alliance, and others, the Hispanic community. And we're going to keep this up.
Right.
Until we come to a solution.
Let me ask you, because I got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. They heard, when you guys were running down the 5 points, they heard the word city county council. Where does mayoral leadership play in this? You know, what responsibility does the chief executive of this city and county have to lead in this effort?
Well, part of what I shared at the press conference, and I mentioned particularly with bringing back the Indianapolis Violence Reduction Partnership, that we need the mayor and we need other political leaders in this community to begin to bring that back. And we need the mayor and other public officials to be more visible and vocal on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have had to take this role, Amos, because there's been silence when it came to our political leaders on this issue, from the mayor on down to city county council members, and we would like to see them take the lead on this issue, and the ministers work with them and other community stakeholders in addressing this problem.
Is this also something, since a lot of what we're hearing from the community, what you all have said across coalitions, what the community has said is we have to deal with the jobs piece.
Yes.
We have to deal with the recreation piece.
Yes.
We have to deal with the youth organizations that work with the youth, making sure they have the resources to expand.
Yes.
Are we at a point where somebody needs to call together the biggest businesses in this town to come together and say, all right, y'all came together to invest a year in what happened literally a year ago.
Yes.
Is it time to make a similar investment, maybe not the same size of dollars as the five or however much they spent on Super Bowl and stuff, but to make that investment that is larger than just the $3 to $4 million that's sitting in the crime prevention grants, to really look at this issue once and for all? Are we at that point?
Well, I just, before I came here, I just had a meeting with business leaders from downtown, and I challenged them on that issue, that we need them involved in this so that we can begin to take a look at this and put resources toward addressing this issue.
All right. Obviously, this is something we're going to keep an eye on. And on Wednesday, we're going to be out at the East District, at that fancy command post they got out there. Talking with the chief, because we haven't had a good conversation with our new chief and with what he's trying to do to not only reduce crime downtown, reduce crime where you live. That's right, Wednesday. Right. We going out to the police. We never broadcast from a police station before.
All right.
We've been to the 911 center. I've never been to police station. So we're going there as well. And all of that, pastors, thank you all very, very much for being here.
And Amos. Yeah. The chief will be at the meeting.
The chief will be at the meeting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We keep the chief busy.
Yeah.
Pastors, thanks very much.